This is a Suno India production and you're listening to Science Sentence.
Hi Rakesh, what is the episode about today?
So today's episode, Menaka, we are going to talk about cloudbursts.
Even recently, I heard about cloudbursts in Amarnath. And unfortunately, many people got trapped and, you know, some even died.
Tragic incident. At least 15 people have been killed and dozens are feared to be missing. In a cloudburst that has hit one of the base camp areas near the holy Amarnath Shrine in India's Jammu and Kashmir.
Why does this happen? I mean, I know it's linked to climate change and global warming.
So, if Telangana Chief Minister K. Chandrasekhar Rao is to be believed, it is a foreign conspiracy.
The cloud burst is a kotta paddhati edo vachindi. Deeni meeda edo konni kutralu unnayi kuda chepta unnaru, entavaraku correct telavadu. Konni itara deshala vallu kavalchukone mana deshamlo akkadakkada cloud burst chesta unnaru. Gatamlo okasari Kashmir daggara Ladakh lo Leh lo chesaru. Aa tarvata Uttarakhand lo chesaru. Ee madhya Godavari parivaha prantham meeda kuda chestunnarani manaku gloomy-gloomy-ga vachinatuvanti samacharam.
Isn't everything, Rakesh?
I know. Anyways, getting back to the science, in this episode, we are trying to understand the mechanics of cloudburst. To understand this better, I contacted one of the few people who are studying this phenomenon in India.
I am Roxy Mathikol, a climate scientist at the Indian Institute of Tropical Meteorology in Pune. This institute is under the Ministry of Earth Sciences, and we have a Center for Climate Change Research, where I do climate research based on observed data and also computer models. Yeah. And I study extreme weather events like heavy rainfall events and floods, heat waves, cyclones, and generally climate change over the tropical or South Asian region, where we have a dense population vulnerable to climate change.
Seems like the right person to answer all our questions on cloudbursts.
Yeah.
Cloudburst is an extreme weather event which causes severe damage in a short period over a short region. There are many extreme weather events like similar to cloudbursts, like extreme heavy rainfall event, which is much more widespread over a region, both short-term and long-term solutions behind it. So on to what are cloudbursts. And cloudbursts are usually defined in terms of sudden heavy rainfall of over a small area. Now, cloudbursts with the name we normally end up thinking that these are like clouds bursting, but there is no such physical phenomena where clouds burst. Yeah, it's a definition totally based on the amount of rainfall in a short period. So the typical definition of cloudbursts that we use, particularly in India, is of a rainfall amount of about 100 millimeter per hour. So if it rains of about 100 millimeter in an hour's time, in a short region, for example, about 20 to 30 kilometers, square kilometers, yeah, that is called a cloudburst. But many people do not know how to visualize that. Yeah, you know, what is 1 millimeter of rain? 1 millimeter of rain is about 1 liter. You can think about a cola bottle of 1 liter. Yeah, so 1 liter of rain for every square meter. That is 1 millimeter of rain. So if a cloudburst is 100 millimeter per hour, that is like 100 liters for every square meter where it occurs. Yeah? Now imagine that is happening over a geographical region of 20 to 30 square kilometer. That's a huge amount of water, which can be disastrous. Yeah. So if you do a quick calculation, that amounts to about 2 billion liters of water in an hour. Yeah. That is if it is 100 millimeter per hour for 20 square kilometers. Yeah. So that is huge amount of water. And when it flows down, So usually these cloud bursts occur over hilly or mountainous regions, and when the heavy rains pounds or impinges on these slopy hills and all, it can result in landslides and flash floods.
Dr. Roxy said that Indian Meteorological Department, the IMD, has also defined what is called mini cloudbursts. This is defined as 50 mm of rains in 2 hours in a localized area.
So in India, cloudbursts occur generally during the monsoon season. Yeah, that is during June to September, when we India as a whole gets about 78 to 80% of annual rainfall. This is because there is a huge or strong wind forcing coming from the Indian Ocean and the Arabian Sea, moving inland, bringing all that moisture from the sea. Yeah, and similarly, there are monsoon low pressure systems and depressions, we call systems, weather systems, which move from the Bay of Bengal region. So all these converge over the land, bringing a lot of moisture. Yeah. And this is when the cloudbursts also occur. It occurs due to huge clouds that we call cumulonimbus clouds. These are formed because of the warm moisture which comes with the monsoon rising. Yeah, and when this warm moisture, this moisture-laden air, which is brought by the monsoon winds, they encounter the mountains or the hilly areas. Yeah, when these winds encounter the hilly areas, that result in a lifting of this moisture. And when this moisture becomes lifted, it forms huge clouds. I'm not getting into the deeper science behind it, but when warm moisture encounters hills, it rises. When it rises, it cools and expands and forms clouds. And here during the monsoon season, we have these cumulonimbus clouds, especially forming along the mountainous region because it rises higher and higher. So the height of these clouds can be, it's interesting, it can be up to 12 to 15 kilometers height from a base of about 500 meters from the surface. Yeah, 500 or 1 kilometer from the surface, and then from there about 12 to 15 kilometers high. So imagine such a huge cloud and with a width of about several kilometers across the region. So that can hold a lot of moisture. Yeah, and this moisture sometimes is dumped on the hills all of a sudden. Yeah, this is why cloudbursts happen.
So, is this only in Himalayas? I mean, what about the crazy floods that have taken place in Mumbai, Chennai? Are they not cloudbursts?
Yeah, I have lived through the 2005 Mumbai floods, where I heard the term cloudburst for the first time. I asked him the same question.
Now, I told you the role of hills in lifting this moisture and forming these clouds and then causing heavy rainfall events. So because of this particular property, we call it orographic forcing. Orography because of the mountains and hills. Yeah. So because of this orographic forcing, these cloudbursts usually occurs over the Himalayas or Western Ghats, where Mumbai, Pune, where I'm residing, Pune also, or Kerala, and also in the northeastern hill states also. So generally, we have been seeing cloudbursts occurring over the Himalayan regions, including Himachal Pradesh, where since 2003, we have been hearing in news very often. Kashmir, Ladakh 2010 was a huge cloudburst. Uttar Pradesh, Uttarakhand in 2013, we saw several lives lost. And now if you come south, we see cloudbursts occurring in Western Ghats, across Western Ghat regions and nearby Western Ghats region, coastal regions like Mumbai. In fact, some of our research shows that the July 2005, the Mumbai floods co-occurred with, so there were huge or consistent rains for several days, but in one of the days in July, a cloudburst like event happened where huge amount of rainfall occurred in a very short time. Yeah, and similarly, even in Pune, it occurred in 2010, where one of one life of a researcher of a nearby institute, National Chemical Laboratory, NCL, was lost. Yeah, young scientists. So even in Chennai, we saw it happening. Chennai is a coastal region, so there will be a lot of moisture available from the nearby Bay of Bengal. 2015, it happened. So these are generally the regions where we see cloudbursts happening often and very often.
These are more recent events, right? Were cloudbursts recorded in the past?
Dr. Roxy has published some papers on historical literature related to weather patterns and monsoon in India.
I mean, a natural phenomena and how often they occurred and is it increasing now and is it going to increase? Cloudbursts are among the least, I would say, the least known weather systems. Yeah, and ground, even monitoring stations at ground can hardly capture the characteristics of these kind of storms because they are highly localized. Yeah, so they occur in a very short region of about 20, 30 square kilometer or so. Yeah, and we do not have sufficient enough stations. Yeah, even now, even at this modern age, we do not have sufficient enough ground stations to monitor these kind of events at a very high resolution. For example, if we take our national agency, the Indian Meteorological Department, IMD, the maximum reach of IMD is generally at a district level. Yeah, so at a district level, they will have stations at, and even that, not at every district. Yeah, they would have stations at cities and some key regions. Now, cloudbursts, we see that it many times it occurs along remote mountain slopes where we have hills and mountains, and it occurs for a very short time. So because of it, it has been elusive for quite a long time. Most of such events go unreported also due to the lack of monitoring systems in the region. So that weakens our ability to understand these events in a complete perspective. Yeah. So long-term record of cloudbursts are lacking, but we have seen that they have occurred a few times. Yeah, and it seems some of the earliest cloudbursts were reported from the United States in 1940s and all. That is when the term cloudburst was coined, and it's only recently that since the 2000s that we came to be more aware of these events as a meteorological event over India, and IMD took a decision to define it based on the amount of rainfall that can cause flash floods and landslides in these regions over India. And I would say it is since recent events, since the 2000s, that it has come to a picture as a usual event that happens very often, like almost every year right now. But before that, we used to have more of a moderate monsoon. And the reason behind the change in the cloudburst characteristics or the number of cloudbursts increasing now is due to climate change. Yeah. Now, when we talk about climate change, the entire monsoon characteristics have changed. I had to talk from that viewpoint to come to how the cloudbursts have changed. Yeah. So how is it connected with climate change? The science tells that when we have more warm air, the warm air can hold more moisture than dry air, than cool air. Yeah. Warm air holds more moisture and for a longer time. We call this the Clausius-Clapeyron relation. Now, let's not bother about the name of the relation at all. So generally, if the air is much more warmer than earlier, it can hold more moisture than earlier and also for a longer time. So what happens? So even during monsoon time, it doesn't rain for a long time because the air is holding that moisture. And when it rains, it dumps all that moisture in a very short time. Yeah, so we are seeing this phenomenon happening with the monsoons now. And so we are having more longer dry periods intermittent with short spells of heavy rainfall. So what happens? Both droughts and floods happen in the same season across the country. And we see that happening, like if you take the northern belts of Himalayan regions like UP, Bihar and all, we see it's already running on 40% deficit rainfall. But at the same time, we see heavy rain events in short spells happening over some regions. Like, take the example of Kerala. Several heavy rains and floods and even cloudbursts happened this year. But at the same time, Kerala is running at a 20% deficit during this monsoon season. That's because of this phenomena or property of global warming, because that air is holding more moisture for a longer time. So it doesn't rain for a long time. So we have droughts and floods for a long time. Droughts and floods co-occurring. Yeah. So cloudbursts also relate to this phenomena where the air and the clouds are able to hold or absorb that moisture for a long time. So as a result, we are seeing more and more cloudburst events happening in the recent period. But we do not have a very good long-term record to show how it has been changing over a long time, over several regions. But we see it happening. Yeah, we see it happening over Himalayas, over Western Ghats, Northeast regions, and some of the East Coast regions as well.
Basically, we do not have a record of cloudbursts in the past, but it's definitely happening more now. So increased global warming, increased intensity of rains, extreme weather events, all connected to climate change.
So I will start talking about from the IPCC point of view. IPCC is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which compiles all the information on climate change and shows us how the global climate is changing at different regions, at different levels, and what will happen if the carbon emissions are going to increase further in different scenarios. If we stop emissions, what will happen, or reduce the emissions, is there a scope? And if we keep continuing the emissions, where will we reach? Yeah. So, and I have been a lead author of these IPCC reports, particularly the one that came in the recent months. Yeah. So what IPCC says is that the changes that we see in terms of extreme weather events, whether it is cloudbursts or extreme rainfall events causing floods or increase in cyclones, there is a 50% increase in number of cyclones from the Arabian Sea and threefold rise in extreme rainfall events across India. Yeah. So all these changes, including the heat waves also, are in response to that 1 degree Celsius change in global mean temperatures, which happened during the past 150 years, between 1850 and 2010, 170 years to be exact. Yeah. And now the emissions are not stopping still. Yeah. The global nations, they have not committed. They made loose commitments during the Paris Agreement. But what IPCC says is that even if the nations stick to these commitments, they are insufficient. We call these commitments as the nationally determined commitments. Yeah, these commitments are insufficient to keep the global mean temperatures below 1.5 degrees Celsius. Yeah, so we will hit that 1.5 degrees Celsius during 2020 and 2040. That is the living decades. We are in those decades now. And 2 degrees Celsius during 2040 and 2060. So from 1 degree Celsius, we will double in a very few decades. So the impacts to this is unimaginable even for a climate scientist like me. Clearly, it is shown that extreme rainfall events, including cloudbursts, will amplify further in the near future, in the near decades.
That's really grim. So what is the acceleration of these events like?
So what we see is generally extreme rainfall events in the last several decades have risen threefold. And this is across India to some extent during the monsoon season in Western Ghats region, across the West Coast states, Central India, including Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, all these regions, and also Northern hilly regions, including UP, Uttar Pradesh, Himalayas, and also northeast states, including Assam, Meghalaya, and all. So all these regions, we see extreme rainfall events happening. And some of these regions, especially regions where we have hills, like in the Western Ghats or West Coast or Northeast or Himalayas, some of these events could be cloudburst events. Yeah. So we see a threefold rise in these kind of extreme rainfall events causing floods and flash floods.
This only means more and more people will die in these events. It's inevitable. But we need to have certain mechanisms in place to at least minimize these tragedies to some extent.
We need to take measures, or we need to have solutions in place to save lives and also livelihoods. Now, there are two ways. One is quick measures based on forecast, and the other is long-term measures. So for quick measures, first we need to monitor these kind of events, right? So you were talking about IMT and the scope of it in terms of monitoring these events. In some regions where they have their monitoring stations, in some regions it may be district level, some regions it is beyond that. Yeah. But since cloudburst occurs at a very localized region, it is almost impossible to monitor many of these cloudbursts unless they occur nearby the stations, particularly in cities. If it occurs in Mumbai, it will be well monitored. Yeah, especially in the current decade, it will be well monitored. Mumbai or Chennai, it will be well monitored, particularly if these regions have radars. So one way to monitor cloudbursts are radars, because radars give high resolution data over a very localized region. But they are very expensive, damn expensive, that we cannot have these radars in remote regions, particularly those regions where cloudbursts might occur. Yeah. So, but if we have more and more data, if we have more and more rain gauge stations, which are relatively easy to install, they may cost only a few thousands, or depending on the sophistication, some of the automatic weather stations might cost several tens of thousands to lakh. So if they are installed in some of these cloudburst prone regions, we might be able to monitor them, and we might be able to include these monitored conditions in our models, weather forecast models, so that we can improve our forecasting. So before forecasting them, we need to monitor them and understand the science behind them, and incorporate that science and data in our forecasting models. And the next step is forecasting. Yeah. So at the moment, we do not have high accuracy or any accuracy in terms of forecasting cloudburst events. Yeah. So that is the status that we have. And if we gain that accuracy in both monitoring and forecasting, then that is the way to go. That is a quick measure. We will be able to save lives. At present, what we can do is install radars at those locations. So with radars, we can follow the movement. Once these clouds have formed, we can follow the movement, and we can say in the next 2-3 hours whether it can result in a cloudburst or not. We call them nowcast because it's very close to the current time. Yeah. So along with satellite monitoring, if we use radars, we can forecast these cloudbursts at select locations. Yeah. So that is a quick-time measure where we have to see every monsoon year during those peak monsoon time. We have to closely monitor these radars, and we might be able to quickly evacuate some people, give some alerts, and save some lives. Yeah, but not all lives. Livelihoods are lost as well. Property is lost. Farms are lost. So what is the next step to do? The next step to do is have long-term measures. One long-term measure would be to map those regions which are prone to cloudbursts. Yeah. So right now we have, for example, based on the slope of regions and the rainfall occurring in some regions, especially hilly regions, we have landslide maps, right? Those we have mapped those regions which are prone to landslides. So similarly, if we take or collect more data, we could map the cloudburst prone regions. Yeah, and many of these cloudburst prone regions co-occur with landslide prone regions where flash floods also occur. Yeah, so these can be tagged as hazardous regions where the risk is huge and where lives are at stake. So people should be moved from here, and construction and mining in nearby regions could be avoided. So that could be a long-term measure in terms of adaptation. Yeah. So those are the solutions that we are looking forward to. So we need to have policies on this, but we see huge amount of land use changes both in Himalayas and over Western Ghats and even northeastern regions, which is interfering with this climate change. So we see landslides are occurring more, or the trigger is more where there are land use changes, including mining, quarrying, construction, road construction, and at the same time deforestation as well. Yeah, so if hilly regions, they have forests and trees and all, they can hold the soil and the moisture much more than if they are barren. Yeah, so if the land use changes that we mentioned right now is making the hills barren and vulnerable, when heavy rains fall over them, like cloud-based kind of rains, in a very short time, they can break up these boulders and sand and soil, because this sand and soil, these hills cannot absorb much more water in a short time. They are already saturated, so they fall down and bring in the cause mudslides or landslides and flash floods and loss of lives and livelihoods. Yeah. So we need to have long-term policies keeping both climate change and land use changes in mind.
I asked him if this was the new normal, and he obviously said yes.
Already the normal, and we need to expect more and more cloudbursts in the future. Yeah, and especially in these prone regions where it will result in flash floods and landslides and loss of lives and livelihoods. So instead of, thinking about forecast based action. So right now what we do is there is a forecast that extreme rains will happen in the next few days, and we take some action about evacuation and all. Yeah, that is the kind of mode of operation that we have in our country and also in other countries also to some extent. Yeah, so what we should is we need to learn to live with the flood. There should be a flood living policy or a heavy rain living policy, because that is going to happen. Now, you know about, you are living in Mumbai. Heavy rains are now, heavy rains and waterlogging or floods are like an annual affair in Mumbai now, right? And so how do we cope up with these situations? One way is to prepare the environment. So if it is a city like Mumbai, we need to prepare the drainage to the capacity, drainage capacity, so that it can flush out that water in a short amount of time. Now, we know that mangroves are the lungs of the city, which can hold excess flood water. So both the rivers and mangroves, our natural ecosystem, which can hold that water or flush out that water into the sea, have been lost. So we need to reclaim this kind of natural ecosystem that can save our cities from cloudbursts to some extent. I'm not saying they can save in an extensive manner, but to some extent they act as lungs of our city, can save us from floods. We saw that similar construction over the floodplains have resulted in severe floods in Chennai, the 2015 cloudburst that occurred in Chennai. Yeah, there also the situation was aggravated because of the floodplains being encroached. Now we are talking about cities here. What do we do about other regions, rural areas, including farms and all? We don't have beautiful solutions to look forward there. What do we do for farms? Maybe One way is to have flood and drought resilient crops. Yeah, and we need to do more research in identify those kind of crops and what kind of crops can withstand these kind of impacts. We see that at least in the coastal regions, having mangroves, like in the east coast, we have the Sundarbans and all northeast coast. We see that the farmlands nearby existing mangroves are not that affected, because mangroves again not only are absorbing the flood water, but they also are helping us reduce the impact of other events like the cyclones and all. When cyclones hit, we know that there are huge winds. Similar for the monsoon period, also strong winds. So these mangroves, they can withstand or absorb the strength of this strong winds and water and the rains and all. So we need to look at these ecosystem-based solutions along with flood and drought resilient crops also. So we need to, do a assessment locally, identify those regions which are prone to cloudbursts and extreme rainfall events. Yeah, because each region, the impact would be different. So we see climate change as a global phenomena, but the impacts are many times local and the solutions are also local. Because what happens in Mumbai may not be what happens in Mahabaleshwar or nearby regions. Yeah, so we need to assess the changes locally, including the land use changes and climatic changes. And based on that, we need to have land use policies. We need to have disaster management policies. So instead of having a national climate change action policy or a state climate change action policy, we need to have a climate change action policy at district level at least. And each panchayat or each village should have a action plan on how to deal with the local changes. Yeah. So I think that is the way forward. And how do we approach that? We need to have policymakers or politicians who have thought about this climate change action plan at a local level, who are ready to take this up forward. Yeah, so it finally connects to the policymakers and election and all. So this should be part of the election agenda at a local level, so that we can build a climate resilient future for India.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Science in Us. We hope you like this episode. You can reach us on our Twitter page and do let us know what you think about it. Also, did you know that 2,000 deaths on average per year are because of lightning in India? And it's more than any other natural event or disaster. We did an episode on that recently. You can find out how climate change leads to increase in lightning strikes, why it is not notified as a national disaster, and how we can protect ourselves from it. Do listen to that very interesting episode.